Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy, recording at 1:07 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is July 5th. Well, following the holiday yesterday in the USA, the markets were up, and the Nasdaq continues to hold the 7,000 level. It has been up one day, down the next, and a couple of these have been reasonably dynamic, both on the upside and the downside. So there is definitely some indecision going on around the 7,000 level. 7,000 was the peak back in January. It wasn't able to hold the move above that level in March, and now it's back testing it. So we potentially have an example of past resistance becoming future support underway in real time. Well, if the Nasdaq can continue to hold the 7,000 level, this is really the best of all possible worlds. And when we think about this in terms of the consistency of the weekly pattern, there are, I think, two important characteristics. One certainly is that the index did spectacularly well in 2017, and it was really quite overextended in January, and it was due a pullback, and it had the pullback. It was really quite violent and very short-term in nature, and came all the way back to the trend mean, then failed to sustain the breakout to new recovery highs in March, and now we're at new recovery highs again, and the question is whether this breakout is going to be sustained on this occasion. And it's an awfully big question, because considering where the market has gone and how much it has rallied from 1,000 to 7,000 in the space of the last decade is almost 1,000 points a year. And that's very impressive indeed. And what it also helps to highlight is the outperformance of the technology sector, that it has been the clear leader in this medium-term bull market. And it is still rising. So when we think about where are we in terms of the medium-term bull market, well, we know that the credit conditions are tightening, and that interest rates are rising, and that the size of central bank balance sheets are contracting. So we know, therefore, that this is late in the cycle. But being late in the cycle and the end of the cycle are not exactly the same thing. Now, there are two potential outcomes here. One is that the Nasdaq continues to hold this 7,000 level and then pushes on to new high ground. Well, if it can complete this corrective phase in approximately 6 months, then that is going to reconfirm the bullish environment from the perspective of investors. And it is going to also further emphasize the outperformance of the FANG sector. And the FANG index, this is the FANG Plus index, is now right in the region of the peak from March, and has at least started to steady once more. In fact, this looks really quite like Facebook. So we might think of Facebook as being emblematic of the FANG sector generally. Now, Facebook did pull back very violently, and it bounced from that 150 area, and it has rebounded equally impressively, and now it is firming from the region of the previous peak. So this is important, because there is, I think, the possibility here that we are in a bull market environment for the USA, and part of the reason that we can draw that conclusion is because the US is still benefiting from the fiscal stimulus, and the benefit from that fiscal stimulus is likely to run through this year and potentially into next year. So there is an argument that the full benefit has not yet been fully priced in. But then you also have the fact that the economies of Europe and China are surprising on the downside. So the relative performance of the US is really starting to be highlighted. And then you have the prospect of trade wars. Well, the U.S., by virtue of the fact that it is not heavily dependent on exports, is in a better position on that front, whereas China is still very much influenced by the quantity of money that flows into the country, both as a result of foreign direct investment and its export sector. And these trade tariffs are coming at a time when governance has clearly deteriorated, and the banking sector is taking the brunt of the tightness that we're getting in credit facilities, not least because they're trying to clamp down on shadow banking and speculation in the property markets. The brokerage sector in particular is underperforming. And part of the reason for that is because the brokerages extended loans to people that were at the helm of some of the new listed companies. So they took, or they issued loans using shares in companies as security, and that all looked fine as long as the stock market was rallying. But with the stock market declining, then what they took as security is obviously falling in value, and that represents really quite an acute situation for the brokers, not least those that are listed in Hong Kong. So that's why we have this very clear pattern of underperformance. Well, we also know that tariffs are going to be introduced at midnight on Friday. Well, it's on Thursday night and Friday morning. And soybeans have been accelerating lower. They're down for 23 of the last 26 trading sessions, and this is the fifth consecutive week on the downside. I think it is really quite instructive to look at the very long-term chart, because 800 is a rather large psychological level. It represents the lows over the last decade, and we can also see going all the way back to the, in fact, it's even towards the early 1970s, that moves above 800 have not been sustained. So this is an important area for soybeans. If it is going to bounce, then this is a pretty key level as we come back down towards that 800 cent level. If it fails, well, that's going to hold out the prospect that prices move lower. Now, there is an important aspect to all of this, that the USA is the second largest exporter of soybeans, with Brazil being the largest. But the third biggest is nowhere near as large as the USA. So eventually, China is going to have bought all of the soybeans that Brazil's got. Well, if they don't want to buy U.S. soybeans, then perhaps Brazil would be the one doing the buying and then exporting them to China. And that sort of a dog and pony show is something that is not alien to the agricultural sector in times past. So we do have the potential for that kind of moving of commodities around in order to circumvent tariffs. I think that we have to just take for granted that that is what's going to happen. It's not as if China is going to stop eating soy sauce or tofu, for that matter. So therefore, I think that the selling pressure has probably been a bit too severe. And but nonetheless, it's going to be a clear upward dynamic with confirmed support coming back in here. When we look at the rest of the world, then what I found quite interesting was a graphic that appeared on Bloomberg today, and it was talking about bad loans. On the one hand, it obviously highlights that there's a lot of bad loans in Italy and there's a lot of bad loans in India. But to say that there's only 1.7% of loans in China that are bad tells us just how unreliable the data is. But I think I've probably said enough about China, so let's perhaps look at what's going on in India. Because the problems with bad loans in the banking sector in India have been discussed really quite frequently by institutional investors, and yet the stock market has continued to support the banking sector. And it is firming from the region of the trend mean right now, and so is the Nifty. The Nifty index has been steady in the region of the trend mean. But of course, you can't look at just the nominal price value. You also have to have a view on the currency. And the rupee was at a new closing low in here today. And as it comes back towards this 69 area, which has been an area of support over the course of the last 5 years, a lot is going to hinge on what the RBI is willing to do in terms of raising interest rates. If the rupee breaks down from here, then that is going to have an impact on the performance of investments from a foreign investor's perspective. The JP Morgan Investment Trust, for example, has been ranging below the trend mean for at least half this year so far. And a lot of what I think the outlook for the medium-term horizon is much more likely to be influenced by the performance of the currency than the stock market over at least the next few months. And when we take a similar view to, for example, the IIF in the USA, well, the relative weakness of the pound and compared to the Indian rupee has held up the JP Morgan one, but the US denominated investment trust is breaking lower as a result of the rupee's weakness against the dollar. And then let's also look at what's going on in Italy, because despite the fact that Italy has got an awful lot of debt that needs to be refinanced this year, the populist administration came out today and said that they are going to be spending more money and they're going to be introducing universal income for what they consider disenfranchised, I think is probably the best way to describe it. And the reality is that BTPs have got first step above the base characteristics. It looks rather unlikely that we're going to see yields coming back below 2.5%, considering that they're firming. This is the third occasion on which yields have firmed from this area. Well, what that holds out the prospect of is that Italy is going to move back front and center in terms of European politics over the course of the summer months. When we look at the performance of the stock market, well, it has pulled back below the trend mean. It has confirmed resistance at the upper side of what's almost decade-long range, but it was a little bit firmer in here today. So there is the prospect that we do get some additional steadying here. But if we see that Italian yields are pushing higher from here, well, that is going to act as a bit of a headwind for the market. But generally speaking, Europe was in positive territory in here today. And it was the German, Italian, and Spanish indexes or indices were the leading performers. The DAX index has bounced from that 12,000 level. And as long as it's holding that 12,000 level, then I think investors will be willing to give it the benefit of the doubt. It's also worth highlighting that the MDAX has continued to hold that 25,000 level. And when we look at the mid-cap sector in the UK, then it has also so far held most of that breakout. It's at least holding the move above the trend mean. And the Russell 2000 in the USA has also held its breakout, and it was up in it's so far this week up in a dynamic manner. So it's continuing to hold this breakout above the 1600 point level. And as long as mid caps are continuing to outperform, then that's likely to act as at least a counterbalance to the concerns that that financial conditions are tightening. Then when we look at the regional banks index, which is arguably more re representative of the domestic economy, then it has firmed from the region of the trend mean. But it really does need to continue to hold that progression of higher reaction lows. The underperformance of the banking sector is not a bullish factor. And the US banks have been the clear outperformers against the global market. But they're not trending higher. They're not representing relative strength in this market, and they're not even keeping pace with the wider market at present. So that is a reflection of tighter or tighter credit conditions in the wider market. Well, high yield spreads also broke out yesterday. And of course, they do need to trend higher for a while. And we can go back and think about the fact that they started trending higher in 2014, and they remained high for the first half of 2015. It was when they started breaking through the five level, then that's when we started to see some pressure coming into the stock market. So we are in the latter stages of this medium-term bull market, but it doesn't look like we're at the end just yet. So when we think about what the potential outcomes are, well, we could be in for more ranging, and the S&P could be one of the when we think about Wall Street, it could be one of the laggards in terms of the performance when we think about the fact that the Nasdaq and the Russell have already broken out. And the Dow Jones, having accelerated to the peak that we saw in January, is now firming from the region of the trend mean. So what this is, I think it's still supportive of the view that this is a medium-term correction and that the leading sectors will continue to push on the upside. It's not just the FANG sector. When we look at shares that generally do well from an expanding US economy, like Costco or Ross Stores, generally appeal to cost-sensitive consumers, well, then they are also continuing to perform. So what that I think it suggests is that yes, there are developing risks and there are concerns about trade, but so far Wall Street has continued to benefit, not least because it has got these other factors that are really helping it to perform. And one of those is this fiscal stimulus. That in 2018, we definitely have the fiscal stimulus, but in 2019, fiscal stimulus is going to be a much bigger factor, even if the Federal Reserve raises interest rates and somewhat more aggressively. So it's in 2020 that the fiscal stimulus becomes less of an issue, or at least less of a support for the market. But that's still a year and a half from now. And when we then think about the fact that the market is a discounting mechanism, well, the fact that the Nasdaq and the Russell 2000 are continuing to break higher, that's also being, I think, suggesting that the full impetus of the fiscal stimulus has not yet been priced in. The dollar index was a little bit weaker in here today, and it is a little bit over bought in the short term when we look at the trend mean. So there is potential for some pause and consolidation in the dollar. There is no way that Europe wants a strong currency, and China certainly doesn't want a strong currency. The scope for a dollar rally in here, it looks to be reasonably limited. The more important point is that it has broken the progression of lower rally highs. It is sustaining this move so far above the trend mean. It could pull back to the region of the trend mean before finding support once more, but as long as it's holding the region of the mean, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. Well, then when we look at the Asia dollar index, the dollar has rallied more. There is the potential that it could pull back by more. But China has been reasonably clear that they don't want the renminbi to decline in a straight line, but neither do they want it rallying, not least as a tool to countermand some of the ill effects from trade tariffs. And if the dollar does consolidate, then that should be a benefit for the gold price. I had a question today asking whether that move that we saw on Monday for gold was an upside key reversal. It's an outside day, but it's not a key reversal because it did not close above the high of the previous day. But it was an outside day, and generally speaking, with these kinds of moves, its upside follow-through is what we need to confirm the low. Well, so far it has followed through on the upside today, but not in a particularly dynamic manner. There is a rather acute oversold condition in the very short term, so there is the prospect of gold rallying back up to test the region of the trend mean, but it needs to push back above the mean to really confirm, and or at least we need upper dynamics. If it's not going to, if we don't have to wait for it to get all the way up to the trend mean, we need a clear day that stands out on the daily chart to say, wow, something really important happened that day. We can also see plenty of examples of big pullbacks in May and in June that really signaled to investors that something really important happened on those days. We need upper dynamics of a similar magnitude to really reignite investor interest. Silver is right at the lower side of its range. It wasn't quite able to hold its rally in here today. And it is back above that $16 area, but so far it has not signaled a downside or failed downside break. So it has got more work to do on that front. And it's a similar story for platinum. Having bounced really impressively, it has not yet followed through on the upside. But $800 is an awfully big level for platinum. And I think that the balance of probabilities is that this is a low of at least short term, and I think quite probably medium term significance. I think the most likely scenario is now a reversion back towards the mean, but then it will have to sustain a move back above 1,000 to really confirm that we're in a demand dominated environment that stretches beyond the short term and into the medium term. But I think one of the oldest adages, and certainly it was almost a mantra at this service all the way through the commodity complex, is don't pay up for commodities, that they're best bought following reactions. I probably was too enthusiastic when they were at higher prices, this I think does look like a more attractive area, but I've probably got too much of them. Then when we look at the gold mining sector. Well, GDX is firming, and it's been up now for three of the last four sessions, and it is coming back towards the region of the trend mean. Well, the fact that it has been so very inert over the course of the last few years, if it can sustain a move above 23, well, then that will begin to break the downward bias. So we're at, I think, a potentially important juncture for gold shares, and not least because they have, they are generally profitable. They're no longer investing in additional supply, and their cost of production is quite a bit below where gold prices are right now. So any firmness in the gold price should translate into a more enthusiastic attitude towards the gold shares. Copper prices were down today, and down in a reasonably dynamic manner. They're extending this decline, and this move below 300 has now broken the progression of higher reaction lows. This is a massive reaction against the prevailing trend. It has type 2 top formation characteristics, and a sustained move above 300 would be required to question the downward bias. And obviously this is in large part because of tariffs on China and fears about the ability of China's expansion to persist. I really think that what's going on in China in terms of tariffs is only half of the story. It's the declining standards of governance, and the fact that you have a new central banker who is trying to stamp out speculation in the property market, that it is that there are a number of factors that are all coming together to deter investor interest from that market. It's going to require very clear and substantial changes to policy in China to arrest the decline that we're seeing right across the boards. Well, commodity markets might be pulling back, but Australia's stock market is continuing to firm. This has been a very tight range over the course of the last 10 sessions, and it was in additional positive territory in here today. And the financials index is right in the region of the trend mean, and it is firming. So there is the possibility here that the downward bias in Australian banks that's been evident for a year already is coming to an end, that we had a substantial deterioration during the Royal Commission, and now that the Royal Commission is moving on, then that is taking some of the pressure off the financial sector. That the PE is now at about 13, and on a gross basis, some of these banks are... Let me put up, for example, National Australia Bank. that it is yielding 10% on a gross basis. And in an environment where interest rates in the US are rising, but they're pretty, the Australian Central Bank does not look like it's going to raise rates anytime soon. 10% is really something that is probably attractive to a lot of investors. So I think some people are at least concluding that it is reasonably safe to step back into the water in terms of the Australian banking sector. And it would really require a clear downward dynamic to question that conclusion at the present moment. So when we take a step back and think about exactly what's going on, the USA is clearly outperforming, and it is continuing to benefit from that fiscal stimulus. Everywhere else is under some pressure, not least because of the strength of the US dollar. Well, the dollar is really quite overbought at the short term, so there is potential for the dollar to at least unwind some of that overbought condition, and that does hold out the prospect for a bounce to come into some of the instruments that are really oversold. And we have a large number of instruments that are oversold in the commodity complex. And China is oversold. And then Europe is also oversold, not least in the banking sector. But we've had such a large amount of trend deterioration that a lot of these instruments have got an awful lot of work to do before we can conclude that there's anything other than short-term support has been found. And the other market that's worth considering right now is oil. West Texas Intermediate was down by a dollar today, so it is encountering resistance around this $75 area. And it did race to get up to this level, so it is due some pause and consolidation. And Brent crude was also in negative territory in here today. And it is so far encountering resistance around this $80 area. Well, it did break that very short-term downward bias, and as long as it's consolidating above $75, I don't think anyone's going to be particularly worried about Brent crude. Well, the Russian market has been trending higher, albeit in a reasonably moderate manner for the last year and a half, and it firmed again in here today. But I think that is pricing in that oil prices had been doing better. If oil prices consolidate, we can anticipate that the Russian market will also consolidate. As a major commodity producer, then it is, I think, susceptible to the weakness that we've seen right across the commodity complex if oil also starts to pull back. And the Russian ruble has got, well, this looks like a distribution below that range, or that the dollar is simply consolidating above 60, and that the most likely outcome is that it is going to strengthen from here. So that suggests that Russia is perhaps not the most attractive of the emerging markets right now, but Russia trades at a PE of somewhere in the region of 6. Let me put the description page up for the traded index, 6.5. And China's at approximately 13. Well, what that suggests is that there is some substantial potential for de-risking in China if we don't see some substantial action from the central bank. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.